This morning, we want to ask the question that Pilate asked many, many years ago. When we talk about Pilate, I don't mean a captain that flies a jet. This is Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea in Jesus' time. Pilate said to the enemies of Jesus, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Here is a great question that every person in this world has to answer eventually. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah. There's no greater question that can be asked. What shall I do with Jesus? Jesus was before Pilate, being judged by Pilate. Here was the Son of God, in whom God was well pleased, the Father was well pleased, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, who had done many, many miracles. Here was the Son of God through which everything was created, the visible and invisible world, standing before a sinful man of flesh and blood, being judged by him. Can you imagine what is coming up when on judgment day Pilate will stand before Jesus? And Jesus will look around and say, "What shall I do with Pilate?" Now that will be a scene. And I think Pilate, he will shiver in his boots. He will not feel so cocky and so confident as here. Pilate is actually in the hands of Jesus, but he doesn't really know it. In a very real sense, Pilate, however, represents every man, every woman, every child in our time. What shall I do with Jesus? There is this Jesus issue that you and I cannot escape. We must make a decision. What we shall do with what we hear about the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. Jesus is before you today. And it's up to you and me what to decide. Well, people say, "Well, you know, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. So I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior." You know, that kind of language kind of sounds subdued. It sounds like Jesus is subject to us. He lives in my heart because I give him the right to live in my heart. Otherwise, I wouldn't. That's not the right attitude. Jesus is to be Lord of my life. He needs to be worshipped, praised and honored in everything we do. What shall I do with Jesus? Let's look at the nature of this important question. This is a very present, a very real question. This will never be outdated. It will never be old-fashioned. It will always be before every generation. What shall I do with Jesus? Now, people try to do a lot of things with Christmas, a lot of things with Easter. They try to make Christmas into a commercial holiday, and they make the Easter bunnies and the Easter eggs and all of that stuff. But what shall I do with Jesus? People know what to do with a holiday. They know what to do with Easter. But what shall they do with Jesus? A very real, present, sobering question. It's not just simply to look back and say, what did Pilate do with Jesus? Oh, this evil Pilate. He was just such a horrible man that he would in the end allow Jesus to be crucified. That's not the question today, what Pilate did with Jesus. We read about that. What is important is, what does he mean to us today? What am I doing with Jesus? Do I make him my religion? Do I make him just my idol that I kind of, you know, I put him on my worship table, or I take him off? Do I serve him today and not tomorrow? Do I serve him during the week and not on the weekend? Or do I serve him just on Sunday? I put him right there in the center. Sunday, Jesus is right here. And during the week, he has to be in the corner somewhere. What do I do with Jesus? How does that affect my life? How does that affect my thinking, my attitudes? Very important. It's a very personal question. Pilate says here, what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? I don't know what to do with him. It's not what is somebody else doing with Jesus. It's not what others are saying about Jesus. What do I do with Jesus? Do I give him the proper place in my heart? Do I give him the honor that he deserves? Do I really give him all my heart and my life? You see, your destiny hangs on this answer to the question, what shall I do with Jesus? And I think it's a very urgent, a very pressing question. And some people say, no, I have lots of time to think about that. I mean, just before I die, I'll probably consider what I shall do with Jesus. But until then, I know what I want in life. I want to enjoy life. And others say, well, I'm just not going to answer that question. But you know what happens? If you don't answer that question properly, you already answer it. Others say, well, I won't decide. And some people have a hard time deciding what to do with Jesus, what to do with the gospel that they hear. But it's inescapable. It's unavoidable. Jesus, who created, through him, is everything is created. We cannot get him off of our hands. We cannot get him out of our minds. We cannot get him out of our hearts. We cannot avoid him forever, even if people try it. That is such a mistake. That is such a terrible, terrible thing to do, to try to avoid Jesus, and in the end, you are brought right in front of him. And the question stands, what have you done with Jesus? Nobody. Nobody can stay neutral when it comes to the cross and through Jesus, to Jesus. You will do something with our Lord and Savior. Either ignore him, either just pushing it off, or you will accept him. But you'll do something with him. Everyone that hears the gospel will do that. And that's why this is so, so important to decide right what to do with Jesus. What did Pilate do with Jesus? What was Pilate's decision? He couldn't avoid that Jesus was before him. I want us to see Pilate's decision in a way that it was a tragic decision that he made. And it's very important that we don't repeat, this is like a warning, that we don't repeat what Pilate did. Pilate has Jesus right in front of him. Jesus, he couldn't avoid him. He couldn't just brush him off. He tried it, but it didn't work. He had to make a decision. Sometimes we don't want to make a decision. Can't we just put it off? Why do I need to make a decision? And this was Pilate's dilemma. He didn't want to make a decision on Jesus. He was like, you brought me the wrong man. Why is Jesus in front of me? I don't want to see him. I don't want to judge him. I don't want to judge him this way or that way. I want to stay neutral. I want to stay out of this whole thing. But he couldn't. Jesus was before him. Unavoidable. In verse 18, Pilate listened to the voice of reason. I mean, he wasn't dumb. He knew why the Pharisees, the enemies of Christ, had brought him to him to judge. Verse 18, it says, for he knew, Pilate knew that for envy they had delivered him. And this is where Pilate could have crushed down on envy and say, no, I will not execute a man and have him executed because you're jealous of him. That was his chance to take a stand. He didn't. So he was reading the hearts and minds of those that brought Jesus before him, but he was scared of them. He was afraid. I read about C.S. Lewis. He wrote that Jesus Christ is one of three persons. It is called a tri-dilemma. There are three options that you have concerning Jesus Christ. We all know that Jesus is a fact in history. But who was Jesus? And C.S. Lewis goes on to explain, if he was a liar, was he a liar? Someone who knew he was not God, but pretended to be for some strange reason. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was a liar? That it all was fake, that his miracles didn't really happen, that it all was fake what he said and what he taught? That is one thing that you need to consider when reasoning about this question, what shall I do with Jesus? Was he a liar? Well, you can't really say. If he was not a liar, was he a lunatic? Was he some crazy person that was so out of the normalcy of his time and just, you know, maybe mentally deranged? Some madman who thought he was God, but he wasn't. That's what some of his enemies would love to have been true. That Jesus was a liar and that he was a lunatic. Was Jesus guilty of lying? Was he what he claimed to be? If he wasn't, then all of the gospel is nothing. Then you and I are still in our sin. If Jesus was a liar or a lunatic, then none of our worship service, none of our prayers have any meaning. It's all empty religion. But do you think that it's empty religion? We say absolutely not. So people have to choose. Either Jesus is a liar or he is a Lord, the Lord. Either he is a lunatic or he is a fraud. Pilate was confronted to reason about who Jesus is. He is called the Christ, the Anointed One. He claims to be the Son of God. So in verse 19, Pilate starts to have to deal with his conscience. See, when you have Jesus before you, when you are in the presence of Jesus, you cannot avoid that your conscience gets very highly alert. Your conscience wakes up. Listen to verse 19. And when he has sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." She had nightmares. She woke up terrified about this whole issue of Jesus before them. Oftentimes we men, we need a wife like that to kind of wake us up. Don't do something foolish. Hands off. This is kind of like a conscience. Pilate's conscience didn't only speak to him, it screamed and thundered inside of him. I am not worthy to judge this man. I have no business judging this righteous man that is before me. See, when you have Jesus before you, your conscience wakes up. It shows you everything. Jesus, with his fiery eyes, his clear eyes, shows and sees right through you. And then the question is, what will you do? When our conscience is awakened and we know that we are at fault, that we have no business rejecting Jesus, that we have no business ignoring him, the conscience is saying, Jesus is saying, what will you do? Are you going to ignore this? Are you going to pay no attention to Jesus? In verse 23, it says, the governor, Pilate, said, "Why? What evil has he done?" Then they cried out more, saying, "Let him be crucified." And Pilate saw that he could prevail not, but that rather the tumult was made. He took water and he washed his hands. If ever there was a person that washed his hands in vain, it was Pilate. But many people do that today. They wash their hands of their unrighteous deeds or speaking wrongly or their bad attitudes. They just wash their hands. The washing hands means excusing yourself. I'm not to blame. Don't blame me. You wash your hands. Don't blame me. You wash your hands. But what will you do with Jesus? Don't blame me. If anything goes wrong, don't blame me. If I go to hell forever and ever, don't blame me. And you wash your hands. But what will you do with Jesus? And Pilate just responded by washing his hands. He said, "I am innocent of this man's blood." He wasn't. Nobody is. We're all guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, Pilate not only heard the voice of reason and the voice of his conscience, and the conscience told him that he was dirty, that he was guilty, and he felt this guilt. He felt dirty. He felt grimy. He wanted to wash himself from this filth of rejecting Christ. But then there was the voice of Jesus himself that Pilate could not avoid. Listen to verse 37 in John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said to Jesus, "Art thou the king then?" Are you the king, what they're claiming to be? Are you the Christ? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone is of the truth that hears my voice. So Jesus said to Pilate, here's the truth. Are you going to accept it? Are you going to embrace it? Are you going to love it? What is your response to it? All Pilate could do at that moment was go out and say, I find no fault that's worthy of death in him. You may have heard many voices before, but when you hear the voice of Jesus speaking to you, when you know this is not some human, this is not something that you just read, when you know at night or in the morning or whenever, even during the day, when you know that still small voice, you know it's Jesus. I need to clean up my life. I need to get right with God. That's the truth. How will you respond to the truth? See, without responding to the truth that is before us, Jesus before us, we can never embrace that love that Jesus has for us. You got to respond to the truth. Pilate conformed to certain standards and values that were not necessarily biblical. And that is, his decision was based on popular opinion. Verse 20, the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas to be freed. Now there was a multitude, a crowd now, that is clamoring for Barabbas, who was a criminal, who was a murderer. So Pilate, as a weak, I would call him a pussy politician, he was reading the polls. What is public opinion? What should I do with Jesus? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What should I do with Jesus? And young people oftentimes have this, I don't know. We can call it peer pressure. We can call it fear of man. What are my friends going to think if I get saved, if I really get right with God and even get baptized? I mean, I'll lose my friends. That's public opinion. That's like what Paul did, what Pilate did. Or when a public invitation is given to come to Jesus Christ, many are ashamed. Why should I come to the front? Why should I confess openly that I want to belong to Jesus and Jesus only? What are others going to say? In German, there's this famous word, Was werden die Leute sagen? What are others going to say if I really get with it? If I really pray up, if I really become a true follower of Jesus Christ, what are others going to say? You know that on the day when we will stand before Christ, none of that will matter. None of it. So Pilate goes and says to Jesus, where are you from? And Jesus gives him this answer. No answer at all. He thinks, what does it matter where am I from? I'm standing before you. What will you do with me? The decision was up to Pilate. It wasn't up to more information that Pilate needed and all of that. Many people act like that. Well, I need more information before I commit and make this huge decision whether to follow Jesus or not. I need all the information I can get. I need to know if he was real. I need to know if he was really dying on the cross for me and all of that. No, Jesus was silent. What will you do with Jesus?
Then Pilate says to Jesus, "Don't you speak to me? Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you and have power to release you?" And there Jesus cannot be silent anymore. See, Pilate is an egotist. He wants to throw around his weight a little bit here. He said, "Jesus, don't you know who I am?" And Jesus looks at him and has this other answer, "Don't you know who I am?" And Jesus reminds Pilate, "You don't have any power over me except that which is given to you from above." This is all God's plan. The power that you have, it's not from you. You don't have it in yourself, Pilate. You don't have it in you. You don't have what it takes, Pilate. I am standing before you, the truth and the life and the way. And here it is. And you need to make the decision, Pilate. Pilate was very proud. He was a proud man. And it was hard for him to admit that Jesus, he had never had a prisoner like this before. In John chapter 19, verse 12, it says, "From then forth, Pilate sought to release Jesus. But the Jews cried out, saying, 'If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend.' Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." As if the Jews even gave anything about honoring Caesar. But they used a political whip. You see how you can twist things that it always fits you? If you condemn a person, you can always find a reason to it, for it. If you reject Jesus, you can always find reasons for it. But if it wasn't for my parents, if it wasn't for the terrible church I grew up in, if it wasn't for my friends, if it wasn't for this, I may have followed Jesus too, but now all of this has happened and my heart has become bitter and no excuse. What will you do with Jesus? Well, I need to come to close here. I'll skip over a few things. All very, very important. Pilate goes on to argue with the Jews more and more. But in the end, he condemns innocent blood. And he has the blood of Jesus on his hands. No matter how often he would wash them, he was guilty too. And I want you to think about this question. What do you think of Christ, the Anointed One, this Holy Week, this Easter week? What does he mean to you? Is it worth to really pray and to fast and pray? Is that how much he means to us? Or can we just ignore him in our daily life and dismiss our devotions, our prayer times, and just say, "Well, no big deal"? What does Christ really mean to you and me this week? One day, and we will stand before Jesus Christ. We will be blessed when we hear the word, "Come to me. You are blessed. Come and inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you." Whether it's public opinion, whether it's pride, whether it's anything other, Jesus is before you this week. The way, the truth, and the life. And he asks you, what will you do? What will you decide? Will you go all the way? Will you really become a believer? Will you get baptized? Will you obey me? That's the question. Will you obey me? And if you haven't yet, it is time. This week is time for you to make that decision. This week, if you have been backsliding, this week it's the time that you get back on track. That you say, "I will totally commit my heart and my life to Jesus." Let's stand for prayer.